It is 4 o'clock on a Thursday. You're tuned to Katie and Kay, which means it's time again for Everything Under the Sun, your weekly newspaper on the radio show. I'm your host this week, Raleigh Burley, joined by the one and only
Yesenia Benavides.
Welcome, Yesenia. Thanks for being here today.
Of course.
And our guest today is the one and only Sarah Johnson, founder of Wild Rose Education. How are you, Sarah?
I am good. I'm glad it's springtime.
Oh, it is such a beautiful spring we're having. All of the nice smelling flowers. Glad to see some moisture rolling through.
It's beautiful.
So beautiful.
Sunny now.
And it's sunny. We get those sunny days. I was informed that tomorrow is the 10th anniversary of Wild Rose Education. So maybe let's start there. Sarah, you founded this. Tell us a little bit about where that inspiration came from and how it feels to be reaching 10 years.
So 10 years ago, exactly tomorrow, May 9th, I filed with the state of Colorado as Sarah R. Johnson, LLC, and that quickly evolved into Wild Rose Education. And I have always, in these 10 years, have been really focused on really allowing and facilitating to allow people to really have their voices be heard in civic spaces, but through the lens of water in the West, Upper Colorado River watershed basin, as well as has evolved into more climate change focused, and I would say more climate action and climate justice focused work, but always facilitating learning for teachers and young people and students of all ages to understand their voice, and that their voice matters and their perspective matters when it comes to these really big, wicked issues like climate change. Mm-hmm. And that I believe the only thing, the way that anything's going to ever really change is if we use all people's creative ingenuity and way of thinking outside the box, because if the scientists could have done it, they would have done it, but it really, mm-hmm. it's all become quite a complex people issue. And so here we are.
Well, and so you've just hosted the first ever statewide climate summit for youth, and it was a smashing success with, I read, close to 90, maybe more participants.
So we had over 100, I think we had 110 registered, and we had about 75 who were able to show up, and that was our target. So that was amazing to have 75 show up from as far away as Ignacio and Yampa and Durango and Fort Collins and the town of Fountain and Battlement Mesa and Montrose and Ridgeway and Telluride.
Wow.
And a large contingency from Gunnison and the Eagle Valley and a group from Boulder, a group from the Alameda International School in Lakewood, which was awesome to bring these. They come from such international backgrounds, and to have their perspectives mixed in with kids from the entire high school from Silverton, which is like maybe 14 students, was the whole school. They all came. And so to mix such a variety of lived experiences together was really powerful and eye-opening, is what I heard and watched happen.
And it was like a camp-in, right, where the students could stay at the Third Street Center? Oh, okay.
Maybe kind of. Mm-hmm. It was 2 days, and we wanted to make it as accessible as possible. It's such a huge lift just to drive across the state.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole program was free, and we fed everybody. And then we also had the high school gymnasiums available for free to sleep and have a camp out at the high school.
Mm-hmm.
And so Roaring Fork High School made that possible in the school district. And all of this was made possible because of a partnership that I have with LIRA. And LIRA is a nonprofit organization based in Denver that is out to help students really help young people have more access to climate education and workforce development and have more youth-led opportunities.
I'm just imagining what a fun, encouraging thing for those students to get to make new friendships and to have this deep dive and probably walk away with a lot of new ideas and a lot of inspiration.
Yeah, on that first morning, I told everybody that my biggest goal for them was to make a new friend. I mm-hmm. said, the world's really, really hard. And I actually said, if you agree with me, stomp your feet. And the whole room stomped their feet, mm-hmm. that the world's really hard. But then I said, but we're here together. And my goodness, what an opportunity to be together. And what, no matter if you were an adult chaperone, workshops leader, or a high school youth, it didn't matter. Every person in that room, that was my challenge to them, was I want you to leave here with at least one new friend. And that was, to me, the one of the most important purposes of this entire climate summit, and to have a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And yes, we had very specific goals and objectives and learning outcomes and all these things around climate. But I think in today's, right now, in this moment, what the world needs is more connections. And I think that we accomplished that in a really big way through art, through learning, through meals, through playing Mafia out in the backyard, through playing music. All kinds of fun was had.
Beautiful.
Well, one of my questions was already answered, but how long did this event take to plan?
Well, an event that involves 2 days of programming and all these people, and it was something that no one in this state had ever attended. Mm-hmm. So it took a lot of courage and bravery for people to want to participate and to show up for something they had no idea what it was going to be. So there's a lot of marketing and storytelling and one-on-one conversations with people just to help them understand what they're coming to. And all of this took, at least I started on this project in June, I think June last summer. So almost a year. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Could you give us an example of some of the activities that took place in the workshops?
Yeah, so we used the climate literacy principles as a framework on how we decided what workshops to include, in addition to the Colorado climate goals, to frame to have some criteria. So we had workshops around agriculture and water and drought. We had activities around buildings and buildings being more efficient and all the things you can do to retrofit buildings and save buildings and not just bulldoze them down. We had a whole lot of emphasis on climate justice and equity, inclusion, diversity, but really around climate justice, environmental justice. The Environmental Defense Fund, a woman came from their DEI office, and mostly she's an environmental justice person in their agriculture department. We also had young people from Boulder and Gunnison do workshops and presentations about their successes in their young community, in their communities as young people. And they were sharing about how do you build power? How do you build a movement? How do you work with partners? How do you work, like in Gunnison is all about wildfire mitigation, and how do you work with the Forest Service and the State Forest Service as well as the U.S. Forest Service. And they won a big, like an award for their work. And so we got to highlight their accomplishments, and more so young people from other places got to see what is possible as a fellow young person. We also brought in the XPRIZE winner, the $5 million XPRIZE winner group from Grand Junction, from Colorado Mesa University, where they were studying biodiversity in the Amazon. But we didn't have the professors come or the researchers. We had the college student come, this young woman who's 21 years old. And so so much of the summit is about celebrating young voices and young leaders and letting young people learn from young people. And so those were some big highlights. But we also included a lot of art. And a mentor of mine in this community named Ken Neubecker once told me that whatever you do in all this climate and environmental education and advocacy work is to never leave out the poets and the artists. Mm. And we didn't. I got a recommendation from a woman in Telluride, from Rosemary Watola Tromer, a poet. She recommended this high school youth from Telluride to write a poem for the summit. So we did. She did. We also had an art activation set up, which was like a fancy, amazing, perfect art room that Raina Katzenberger from the project shop set up, so kids, young people could do art, visual arts, all throughout the entire 2 days. And then we also had a songwriter, so we were able to ask kids a couple questions. And then this woman, a new person to our community named Emma, she came, she took all their input. And then she took 3 or 4 hours, and then she wrote a beautiful song from all of their ideas. And that's how we ended the summit. So there was just all these pieces of our whole body, our whole self, everything from the science, from the state climatologist, to the art and the emotion and the feeling and the connection. And I was very proud of what we created.
So 1 year ago in June, what was the spark that made you decide that Wild Rose Education was going to take on putting together a summit like this?
Well, that's when the contract started. So it actually started before that. Mm-hmm. it started probably 6 months before that or more. But I've been a part of the National Youth Climate Summit Network for about 10 years. Mm-hmm. And actually, it's become international. So I've been wanting to, I know what a youth climate summit can look like around the country. And I've been wanting to make that happen in our community, in my state, in our state for a long time. And I think it's just one of these things where it's a celebration of our state, our community, our young people. And it's a lever. It's a lever for creating change, because the second day of a youth climate summit is always spent doing climate action planning projects where young people take their passions and their concerns and turn them into an actionable project with like steps and stakeholders. And how do we take in a budget, and how do you take your passion and get it to an action plan? And so mm-hmm. why? Because I think it's what the world needs mm-hmm. more. It's what the world needs all the time and has needed for a long time. And so the more we can put energy into our young people, I think the better the world will be. And all the adults that are involved are so joyful and happy and leave inspired as well. So it's really a community celebration.
For listeners just tuning in, this is Everything Under the Sun. I'm your host, Raleigh Burley, and we're speaking with Sarah Johnson, founder of Wild Rose Education, about the Youth Climate Summit that just happened May 2nd to the 3rd. And it looks like Yesenia, our co-host, has the next question.
Yes, this sounds really inspiring, and I really wish I would have attended. So do you plan to continue this summit?
Yeah, so the hope is that this is the first premier inaugural launch of a Colorado Youth Climate Summit program, mm-hmm. and that there will be a Youth Climate Summit for years to come annually. It may not happen in the spring because we were up against prom and CMC graduation, all these dual enrolled students and track meets and all the things that young people are totally caught up with in May. So it may change seasons. Mm-hmm. And I think another piece of it that it will include even better, we did a good job of this. There's a youth leader crew, a youth leader team that started in the fall and actually got to like help pick speakers and create criteria for how do you pick good speaker, like presenters, workshop leaders, because we didn't have that many speakers. We actually had more activities and hands-on stuff. But this group, they got to be the kind of the handlers of our workshop leaders and introducers and help with registration and all the things. So this youth leader team, we would even bolster even more, I think, in the future. But the goal is to do this more than once, for sure. Mm-hmm. It all takes money, and it all takes venues and locations and a lot of logistics and financial calendars and all kinds of behind the scenes things that I think a lot of youth don't know about, and that's just okay. And so there's a few things we have to work out before we can just say absolutely. But there's a lot of people that are really, really excited and left this. They drove away from Carbondale feeling, I think, really inspired. And we're so glad they came all the way here from Telluride and Ignacio and Fountain and these very faraway places.
Seems like another thing Carbondale could come to be known for.
It was really cool to celebrate the Third Street Center as mm-hmm. one of the hours of our activity. We did this like free choice exploration, and they literally went, we highlighted all these people and organizations in the Third Street Center, so like that are demonstrating climate solutions. So like the Carbondale Bike Project, Soul Energy with Ken Olson. We had an electric car show in touch. You didn't get to drive them, but you got to climb inside them without a salesperson. You just literally, so we had a variety of electric cars of all the people that work at the Third Street Center that have electric cars.
Oh, cool.
And then we had Alyssa with Evergreen Zero Waste. She came over and did a compost chat about how to do that systemically within an institution. We celebrated the Aspen with the Aspen Science Center, did a thing about greenhouse gases. Rita Marsh did a thing about bioregionalism. Even the Way of Compassion Center opened up their space to allow people to just have a quiet, still spot. Mm-hmm. And then Clear, of course, we did a blower door test. And so it was just like a celebration. Mark and Colin were so incredibly supportive, and Colin even gave a tour of how this building has been salvaged and repurposed, and the building itself is a climate solution. And so it was just really cool to get to highlight the things that make our community so sustainable, or leaders of sustainability. So we just have to figure out where everybody can sleep for mm-hmm. free that's comfortable. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
It'd be cool to see a bunch of tents pitched out around, but sure would. That probably gets logistically challenging too.
Yeah, there's a lot of working with young people and then working within all the constraints of our systems. It gets challenging, but mm-hmm. There's some pretty creative people around here. So I think now that everybody knows what's possible, mm-hmm. I think there's a lot easier path to being more creative for how to pull it off again.
Well, I want to mention, so Yesenia is in this Tomorrow's Voices class that's taught by A.O. Forbes. And I believe they're talking about climate challenges right now, right?
Yes. The class is about political sustainability. And recently we've started talking about more of like food and like how it impacts our climate.
Yeah.
So our food system and yes. how that impacts our climate.
Yeah.
Yes. And like all of the greenhouse gases are released when like the factories and mm-hmm. making like meat products.
Yeah. So that's awesome that you're learning about that. And one of the big pieces of bringing people together for a summit is you got to feed them. Uh-huh. And I made it very clear that the food was part of the program. It wasn't extra and sidelined. And so when we look at Project Drawdown, it's top 15 things we can do to slow down true greenhouse gas emissions around the world. And Project Drawdown is an international entity that does all kinds of research to figure this out. Two of the top five things have to do with food. One is eating a plant-rich diet, and it's very particular to say plant-rich. So it's okay to have some cheese and some milk, and mm-hmm. like it's more of the primary, but not absolute. So plant-rich diets, beans, etc., and then to minimizing food waste. And so when I was working with our food, the food for our summit, I said I have three requirements. It has to be plant-rich diet. We need to make sure we're being very thoughtful with quantities of food, so we have very little food waste. And then we need to make sure we're walking the talk in every way and having very few to no single-use packaging, whether that's bottles or chip bags or whatever. And those are my three three pillars were critical to how we organized food for this. And then we still had extra food because teenagers did not eat like I thought they would. But we made sure everybody went home with food so they didn't have to stop at the convenience store or the gas station and buy that crummy food that's not healthy and is in single-use packaging. So nothing got thrown away. And then what we couldn't give away, we gave to Lift Up. So
that's nice. That's amazing. So demonstrative of walking the talk, that you have these values, but you're not just, you know, picking up food in plastic boxes that creates a lot of waste. You're actually showing in every step of this how to be solution-oriented.
We did not buy T-shirts and plastic water bottles and a bunch of swag that people are used to getting. Mm-hmm. Rather, we made some really neat workbooks that were actually useful, and we made stickers. We worked with a local graphic designer, and that was really nice because stickers are small. Yes, they're still plastic, but they're small and they can go. People love stickers. So we put the money into paying a graphic designer, Lindsay Jones, instead of paying for a bunch of stuff that just ends up like fast fashion and t-shirts and t-shirt culture is pretty ugly when you look at how they're manufactured. Mm-hmm. And nobody really needs another t-shirt anyway. So really, I mean, cause I guess my values are so deep and broad and really steeped in this and has been my whole life, I think. And being the director, I had the capacity to had permission and to do this differently, do every bit of it differently. So we did it. And hopefully people will want to do it again. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
we'll have an article by Lou Gall, who is was unable to join our interview today, but I wanted to give her a shout out. And also she wrote a preview for this event, and in it she talked about eco-anxiety. And so I wanted to invite you, Yesenia, to also reflect on this feeling. It's a description of a feeling that a generation is holding where, you know, the signs look bleak when we're told about the science and climate change and what could happen, and all the actions that need to be taken. There's this response that we feel anxious. We don't really know there's an energy that bubbles up and it can become overwhelming. And then it can also shut us down if we don't feel like there's things that we can personally do to address such a looming challenge. Is that something that you relate to?
I do think so, especially with the class that I've taken and like learning more, because I feel like youth do feel that, especially when they're taught about it and like how you guys did in your in your summit program, being taught by like community members and like being supported by grown-ups and sharing your voice and getting taught things at the same time.
Can you talk about how relationships play into these feelings that you're sharing? Relationships with all kinds of different types of people.
I'm going to continue with like the adults being supported. Hearing what you guys did, it sounds really amazing to like at the same time being taught and having your voice shared, as well as like making friends and connections in an event like this. To me, it's like if your morals are really strong with the environmental issues, finding relationships in what you care about is very, very moving and inspirational to keep on pursuing your morals.
Mm-hmm. I feel like it's like you're being, for me, it's like being held by a almost like a blanket of love of people that are like holding me and supporting me and telling me I'm not alone in any of this. Does that resonate?
Yes. That's, a little more descriptive of what I was trying to say.
Yeah. We need each other.
Yes. And we need to have fun too.
Yeah. A whole lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was, I think I've picked up in the last few months as the world is disintegrating at the government level, and so much of what I stand for has been erased and just being torn apart. I think that we have to focus on fun and joy and do things that really make us happy, because it takes a lot of backbone and strength and courage and bravery to show up every day. And the only way I find to refuel myself is to surround myself with people who love me and I love them, and then do things that make me laugh and mm-hmm. try to be lighthearted. And we tried to do that at the summit with art and music and people, the young people, you know, self-organized and played games. And
I think that's essential. It can't just be focused on the serious and the hard and the lift, because nobody wants to show up when that's the case.
I think it's important to name it and know that we're together in it, in the hard parts, like I kind of said earlier. Name it and don't be Pollyanna-ish about it. But then to focus on the fact that what we have right now in this moment is that we're together and we're on a mission to make the world a better place together.
And when you get to be part of a team and you're working on something, you know, regardless of the outcome, it already feels good.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Speaking of teams, should we talk a little bit about the projects that came out of this?
Yeah, that'd be great. We have about 5 minutes left.
Yeah, so this Youth Climate Summit was an incubator for climate action projects. And was really part of how it came about was that there's some new legislation in the state of Colorado for the Seal of Climate Literacy, which is a high school graduation endorsement that went through the legislature, not through the Department of Education, which is important, meaning that it's not mandated and it's also not very funded. But it's not mandated, so school districts can opt in for this. And one of the requirements for a high school senior to earn the Seal of Climate Literacy is to complete an experiential project. And that could be a lot of different things. So we wanted to set up young people to give them a kind of a runway, a starting point to creating a climate action project. And so whether they came as teams or became teams or came individually, we have about, I think, over a dozen projects that are young people walked out of the summit ready to try to get started on some of the things that they're really passionate on, with a project management plan of sorts for how to do that. And that's, I mean, if that's not encouraging, I don't know what is. Mm-hmm. The projects are everything from encouraging their school districts to adopt the Seal of Climate Literacy to building school gardens. I think I saw something about a bus lane between Glenwood and Carbondale. as well as like getting rid of in lunchrooms in high schools across the state, there's people are still using styrofoam. And so trying to think about school composting systems and really having an influence where they can. So that's
all those ripples.
We'll see what happens with these youth-led projects.
Wow. And can that also double up as a capstone project?
Yes. And that's just it. You can double dip. You can double dip and be for high school capstone projects, Eagle Scout projects, Girl Scout Gold Award projects, anything that you have to do a big civic project. Mm-hmm. It can totally be double dipped.
Cool.
Advantage.
Well, we are just about out of time, but we have a few minutes. Any final thoughts, Sarah Johnson, that you want to leave our listeners with?
I really hope that Carbondale and Basalt and Glenwood Springs and Aspen and this entire Roaring Fork Valley will really support young people in participating in programs like this. Every young person needs a champion and a mentor and an advisor. And I think that there's an opportunity to do a bit more of that in this community and not just expect high school kids to take the lead on their own. They can take the lead if they feel supported and they feel like they have a mentor and an advisor. And that is still very true even when they're 16, 17, 18 years old. And so it's a call to action to the people who are listening and the adults out there that for next year, I need an adult to mentor and advise a couple high school kids in this valley so they can participate.
And where can people get connected with your Wild Rose Education nonprofit?
It's actually not a nonprofit.
Oh, not a nonprofit.
It's a public benefit corporation. Okay. With the state of Colorado. But Wild Rose Education is wildroseeducation.com. And on there, you can find a link to the Colorado Youth Climate Summit, which is also coyouthclimatesummit.org. And there's a form you can fill out if you're interested in the future of this program.
Great. Thanks so much, Sarah.
Yeah,
thanks.
Thank you so much, Raleigh and Yesenia and Katie and Kay.
Stay tuned for the regional roundup coming up next.
Have a good day.